as Paul addresses the Roman citizens, he explains something about his very self. He states in that verse, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Paul proclaims his wretched state of being, cemented in his words, his worthlessness. Because I'm here to share with you today, without God, you are worthless. He exclaims in his body, "Who will deliver me from this death?" By making this statement, Paul is saying that he is in a death trap. While waiting for the trap to collapse, he explains, "Who will save me?" For if that trap collapses on Paul, his faith is sealed. Working with people who have lived on death row, in a prison, being a witness of the prison where men are executed and women are executed, it is one of the most agonizing events an individual can experience. Waiting for news of a retrial, filing appeals after appeals, as the date of execution gets near and near, this waiting racks the mind of an individual, hoping for a change, that his life or her life may continue on a little while longer while they sit there living in a 6x8 cell. Life becomes very serious for that man or woman who lives on death row, realizing that death is lingering closer and closer as the days go by. Things of life become extremely valuable to that person. Things that they often neglected now has become precious and extremely significant. Just imagine that individual that's sitting there thinking about the past, reflecting on the times that they could look into their child's eyes and see them smile in their faces. Or sitting down watching a television program, maybe a ball game with a good friend or a few friends. Hearing the voice of their mother, and missing the touch of her hands. Realizing that the disagreement they had with their wife or with their husband before they became inmates, incarcerated in prison, was not really a big deal. Often thinking, why could I not been thinking like that? when this problem we had occurred. Sometimes, folks, we regret making mountains out of molehills. Wives frustrated because the husband did not cut the grass, but he chose to go fishing on that particular day. You know, often setting in that sail on death row, many, many thoughts run across the minds of an individual who realizes that they have wasted all of their time in not reflecting and valuing the things that really are important to life. But most of us walk around in this cell of flesh, never realizing that we are living on death row, waiting for the date of execution. We are caught up in our own selfish neglect, and those things that should be important are nowhere near as important until we realize that death is lingering at the door. When it knocks at your door, then you start reflecting back on the importance of things that you neglected, you just overlook, like seeing your child grow up and missing those special events that meant something to their lives. Or seeing that loved one who loved you, but yet because of some argument, because of some difficult time, you decided that you didn't want any more of that relationship and decided to back out, even though you all once loved each other, and you allow the love to die over something that really wasn't all that significant. Sometimes we allow our selfishness to get in the way of all these things that could add value and meaning to our lives by neglecting them or putting them to the side, never thinking that one day we will reflect back on those things and miss the opportunity that we had to build a stronger relationship with individuals that we allow these little simple things to separate us. Oh, living on death row, waiting to die. The things that should be very meaningful and very important are now less meaningful at the time, at the present. But yet when we walk the walk of death, those things come back. And we remember how we neglected them. But this is the most important thing that we should always keep focus on, is that our lives will end one day and that we need Jesus in it. See, Jesus is not an every now and then person. He should be an everyday person in our lives. For he is the judge that holds the gavel that will either free us or condemn us. And we always need to be ready for our lives, according to James 4 and 14. He says, whereas ye know not shall be on tomorrow. We don't know. We can't see it. The only time we have is right now, and our minds need to be focused on our Lord. And let me assure you, if you leave this building today, keep the Lord on your mind. Because you don't know the day nor the hour when your name will be called and you will be taken to the gallows of death. But James says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. In Hebrews 9 and verse number 27, the Bible says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, we are living on borrowed time. And if we don't get our act together and make Jesus our God, our focal point, our hope in this world, then he will be the one that will condemn us. Do you understand why there is so much misery and neglect and worldly pain existing in our society? Do you realize and understand that the devil is truly in control of this world, and he wants you to suffer and live in misery? Look at what the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse number 18. For what's the writer speak to? He says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time, I want you to understand that Paul recognized that we're all going through something. We're all facing these challenges. Life is full of trouble. As Job proclaimed, man that is born of woman is but a few days, and yet full of trouble. And man, it seems like troubles just keeps building and building in our society. But those who know the Lord, as Paul says, these sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in the last days. See, I'm waiting on those days when my life will be sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I won't have to fear nor doubt my soul's salvation, brothers and sisters. I am ready for the Lord to deliver me from the suffering of this present world. Because suffering just doesn't affect one individual. Suffering has infected the entire world. You can't go anywhere in this world and not see people suffering. I was just dealing with a brother on Friday, Brother Siegfried Bill, and his day had went from a pretty good day to a horrible day when he found out that people had been gunned down in Munich, Germany. He has brothers and sisters there. He has many brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet that which happened over in Munich had his life all distraught. I'm telling you, as we see these kind of things, don't you dare think that this cannot happen to you. This is the reason why we need to keep Jesus at the forefront. When we hear these things about lives being taken by white police officers and black males, I'm telling you, it bothers me. It bothers me because of the fact that we hear one thing over here and another thing over there. And yet right here in the city of Huntsville, Alabama, black men are taking lives of each other's every day. It hurts me to know that we are focusing on white police officer against black male, but yet right here in our very city, black males are killing one another. Look at the city of Chicago. I know you have heard, if you kept up with the news, how many individuals died in a two-week period. Black-on-black crime is increasing, my friends. If black lives matter, it appears to me, as we look at the overall picture, we should be doing something to address the whole picture and not segregating just a few. You know, I mean, wow. Just yesterday, I was getting off from work and coming home, and there were two black men in my neighborhood fighting in the middle of the street, 99-degree temperature, and they out there fighting one another. With all this mess that is existing in our society, we can't see where real danger is. We want to focus on stuff in Louisiana and Minnesota. Now, come on, folks. If black lives truly matter, let us be about working to save some of these lives for Jesus Christ. Come on, if it really matters. But yet, the media wants us to focus on black and white discrimination. Hey, did we not have enough of 400 years of slavery and 600 years of discrimination? Those numbers may be a little off, but you see it. You lived in the 50s and 30s, 60s, part of the early 70s. How long has this gone on? When will we take up arms to try to stop the genociding of our own people? It's everywhere. And it hurts me to my heart to hear that another man has died on death row in a cell of selfish desire, which I will explain in just a few minutes. Look at verse number 19 in Romans 8. For the author says, "For the earnest expectation of the creatures waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God. For the creatures were made subject in vanity, futility," some translations say, "worthlessness, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope." See, I want you to understand, when you look at society overhaul and you see people living on death row, lives waiting to go at any moment, any second of the day, man, where's the hope? Where's the hope? Where's your hope? I believe the reason why you are here today is simply because of the fact that you have placed your hope in Jesus Christ and you need him, for you know you cannot navigate these storms of life all by yourself. You need help. You need strength. You need encouragement to continue to go forward and live this life to the fullest and the, until the expectations of Christ coming again and saving us from the destruction that is awaiting us without him. See, I know if I turn loose Jesus, where's my hope? Where's my hope if I give up on my God and choose the things of this wicked world in which we live in? Where is it? Do you expect to find it in drugs and alcohol? Verse 21 says, because the creatures itself all shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God, he's talking about everything being delivered from bondage. Because I'm here to tell you, you are trapped in this cell on death row. And a lot of you all don't even realize it. You don't even think about it. It's just another whim. You hear about a person die, and hey, somebody dead again. But you think in your own mind, by the way you walk and by the way you think about it, that, hey, I'm going to live forever. I see it all the time. People get sick. And in their minds, I mean literally as I talk to them, because I did 25 funerals in 2015. I did 25. The year before that, I did another 20-plus funerals. And I talked to many men who are sitting in hospice care, waiting to die, thinking that they are going to get better. I even had the experience of dealing with my own father as he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. I went to Dad. I said, Dad, you ready to talk about Jesus? You ready to get to know him? And he looked at me and he said, no. See, I know what was in his mind. He was thinking he was going to get better. And see, a lot of us are walking around here thinking that life is not going to end. Well, something dreadful is going to happen. We may get sick. Well, I'll get it right with the Lord. Then let me tell you, you can drop dead right now. And your faith is sealed. The gavel has banged. And your life here on earth is ended. And all you got to look forward to is a fearful look of judgment, because you were thinking or concentrating on something that was irrelevant compared to thinking and meditating on your Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on. The madness that's in our society, where people have gotten all about God, all about really worshiping him from a true heart with a spiritual mindset. What has happened? Where does this evilness, this madness, this craziness that exists in our society, where does it stem from? Well, it stems from our own selfish and wicked desires. Even though a man may live in a 6x8 cell on death row, eventually surrounded by the walls of that cell, he literally loses all sense of reality and becomes insane. Watch what James has to say in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and from the NIV. Watch what he says. What causes fighting and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You see, a lot of the times when we are in conflict with someone else, it's simply because we have something already going on in ourselves. See, I've come to understand that the reason why so many people have to deal with emotional pain is simply because it's a recurring thing that happened in their past sometime. You know, they talk about abused children wind up abusing as abusers as adults. It was the event that transpired that they never could turn loose of. They could never put it in their past and try to forget about the pain that they were enduring. And yet now this pain, this agony, all these desires come to their forefront, and they wind up committing the acts that were laid on them. Come on, you all are intelligent folks. You read. You see, abused children wind up being abusive adults. You know, just think about it. If a husband is abusive to his wife and the children see that, then that child, that boy, probably going to grow up being abusive to his wife, because that is the training and the instructions that we pass on to our families. That's the reason why that curse that Isaiah talked about will go to the seventh generation, because we neglected training our children in the ways of God. We allow them to see things that they should have never saw. And I know some of you are probably sitting there and it's ruminating in your mind right now some of the events that have transpired in your youth. Well, I'm trying to encourage you, hey, that's where the fighting and wars come from. A lot of time it comes from our history, what we have learned from our past. And we have been incapable of putting those things in behind us, because all we can focus on is the pain that we're enduring. That's all we can focus on. So we're trapped there. Where does the fighting come from? It comes from among you, in you. And then we pass it on to each other. Have you ever saw how contagious it is when people are fighting? What do most folks want to do? Most folks, they want to run and see who's going to win the fight. Come on, young people, they're not doing anything about trying to stop a fight. They want to see what's going to happen. Instead of trying to be peacemakers as God wants us to be, we'll rather sit back and look and see all this trouble in the world, and we are afraid to mention our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see lives being destroyed, and yet we just sit back and watch and see what's gonna happen next. My brothers and sisters, why in the world do you think Jesus made the illustration, the harvest is white, but the laborers are few? We ain't got enough of people that are willing to go out and share the love and the peace of Jesus. Watch what it says. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Next verse. Watch what it says. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. What? What? Yes, exactly. Exactly. James hitting it dead on the head. We desire things that lust, those desires, those wants. You know, hey, Dante, let me tell you about it. Let me give you an example. It happened to me the other day. Y'all know I'm a big, healthy, good-looking man, so I ain't going to go all through those changes. But the other day, I was leaving, going to work yesterday morning. And, okay, you know, as I go down and come up Hollow Road and turn on Memorial Parkway, Bojangles and McDonald's sitting right there on the side. Man, I don't need any more Bojangles and McDonald's. But the desire was burning. Go get something. Go get, come on, man. They only $4. They on sale today. Y'all see what I'm saying? Well, you know, I went on a little bit further. I said, no, I'm going to resist this. I am going to fight against it because I don't need a biscuit. Far as I come down Pulaski Pipe and go up, I can't even think of the road right now, and hit 53, you know, as the Waffle House and Hardee's. Man, James, come on, you can cut in here right quick. The traffic's not bad. Get you, you know, toast steak biscuits. Man, I'm fighting. I'm fighting to resist it. Y'all don't see, I know some of y'all got bigger problems than biscuits. See, I know. But the point is that we have these desires in us and they want to dictate our actions. So if you got the desire of hatred in your heart, and if somebody comes along and says something that doesn't amount to very much, absolutely insignificant, you blow up. Because a seed has been planted in your life saying, this is how I react when you make me mad. I would have said another word, but I'm in church. Come on. If that desire of lust is in your heart, man, you want to gratify that lust. And you can't tell me you are not struggling with those desires. Brother, sister, get a brand new car. But Fred, I'm jealous. I saw that Highlander. Yeah, I'm driving the old. Hey, I'm driving what God blessed me with, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And I want you to understand, but those desires can be triggered in our lives and brought forth, and we wind up wanting, but we can't have because we want for the wrong reason. You want for the wrong reason. Not to get me from point A to point B. It's because Brother Fred got a new truck and I want a new truck. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Let's move on. Paul puts it in this way in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Watch what he says here. This know also, and you familiar with these scriptures, that in the last day, perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Hey, I don't care nothing about you. I shoot you in a heartbeat. Say something there. Come on, you see it? You understand it? I'm saying that these desires come from within. And then they are projected out, contaminating other people. Let me get back here. Skip down to verse number 5. Watch what he says. Having a form of godliness. but denying the power thereof from such, turn away. The appearance of godliness, look all pious, holy, and yet on the inside they deny God's power. I mean, let me say, I just got to tell you. You claim you're a Christian, but you cuss like a sailor. And now you hear your child saying something negative, and you want to reprimand him, but he's learning it from you. Where does it come from? From you, within you. And it's pouring out, affecting the ones that you claim you love. Look at verse number 7 there. Verse number 7. Watch what it says. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning. But yet, the truth is void in their lives because they won't live it. And verse number 13 teaches us this. Verse number 13, sister. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I want you to understand, as we look at the world and our society, it's not going to get any better. And the only way you're going to get better is that you turn to God and rid yourself of these evil things. Forget about your past and turn to the Lord. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Watch what the Bible says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. I want you to know that it's going to affect people. The negativity, the poison that the world is spewing, the devil is trying to sell you, is going to affect the faith of the church. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Having your mind seared that nothing good can get in, and that bad just locked up in there. That's what we see. That's what we understand. The Ephesian writer writes, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, instead of fighting each other, we need to fight the right thing. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We cannot argue. The fight is against the devil. And we need to stop living like the devil wants us to live and start living like God wants us to live. Remember that the penalty for injustice and the practices of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse number 23 states, for the wages of sin is death. See, that's what you earn when you don't check yourselves, when you live like the world, but come to church on Sunday and act like you're a Christian. Brothers and sisters, God won't have it both ways. You're either on God's side or you're on the devil's side. And he hates lukewarm Christians. But the gift of God, according to the text, is eternal life only through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ.
I want to remind you that your life, and I'm just going to stop. I think I've gotten a point across. Your life is a vapor. And we don't know when it's going to end. All I know is that I need to be doing and saying what's right now. I need to do what's right now, because this is the only time I have. I don't have any other time. All I got is right now. And you know something? I know I'm on death row. I know. It is appointed for man once to die and then done. But I also know the only way I'm going to get a pardon for the wages of sin that I have committed is by believing and trusting in my Lord Jesus. He's the one that can set me free from the death that I am or will experience. Paul said in chapter 8 and verse number 1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm telling you, I'm all in with Jesus. I'm all in with him, because I know that I would hate to die. You know, I tell people all the time, it's hot. It's hot. It's been hot. Right? 9 is every day. I go by him and say, hey, I can bear this. It's only warm to me. I don't want to go where it's hot. It's warm to me. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to stand out there in it. I'm not foolish. But I can bear this. I'll find me a shade tree, Dennis. I'll find me one somewhere. But I don't want to go where there is no shade. I don't want to go where they are begging for a drop of water. I don't want to have anything to do there, for I have not lost a thing there. But I know who the judge is. And brothers and sisters, I'm on the judge side. If he says I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I want to repent, but I want to get it right with him. But he can either lift me up or send me down. I need Jesus. What about you today? If you're a Christian here and you understand that you are living on death row, waiting for the day of execution, you start making a change right now. And it starts today. It starts right now. It starts by getting your mind right, believing what the Bible says, trusting in it, trusting it, because you believing and not trusting it will do you absolutely no good, I believe. Well, when you trust it, you are willing to follow it. So that's the reason why I'm saying, just don't believe, trust it. Faith is based on credence and evidence. And if you got faith in the Word of God, then, hey, follow the instruction. Follow the instruction. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God according to the Scriptures. That's how you develop the right kind of faith. The next thing you need to do is, hey, I got to make some changes. You know, as the Roman writer says, don't be conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, it's time for you to start thinking about those things that bring you pain and put those things behind you. Brothers and sisters, I now begin to understand truly what Jesus says about a man putting his hand to the plow and looking back. By looking back, that tells me you want that which is back there. Man, I got rows ahead of me. I got a new life ahead of me. I want to live that life to the fullest, that I won't be caught up in the misery that's in this world. Man, it's a miserable thing to live for the world. For the world offers you nothing but a hole in the ground and somebody throwing dirt in your face. It's all the world can offer you. We'll bury you. But what about eternal life? Change your thinking. Repent. Turn from that which is wrong back to that which you know is right. It's that simple. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you a lie that is easy, because I've been repenting for 30 years. I've been a Christian about that long. And I said, Lord, help me with deal with this. And then confessing. Confessing the only one that has the authority to set you free. That's the sweet name of Jesus. For there is no other name written under heaven whereby a man can be saved. No other. He is the judge. And he can have the cell unlocked or lock you in for eternity. I do not want to deal with eternity without Jesus. I don't want to deal with it. Matter of fact, I'm kind of getting sick of this old life right here and all this struggle and tragedy, Turkey and Paris and Munich. And, man, wow, aren't you about sick of it? Man, you can't live through it without Jesus. That's all I'm saying. You got to recognize his authority, his power to save you. And then you got to commit to water baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, according to the scripture. He that believeth not. Well, you don't have to do it, but without it, if you're here today, you need to respond to God. This will be an opportunity for you. And Christians, believe me, just like I know I struggle with stopping by Bojangles and Hardee's, and the Waffle House. Just as I know I was struggling trying to keep away from those things, I know you're struggling with something too. You know, the only difference is that I'm going to confess mine and have righteous people pray for me. This is a time for you to have righteous people to pray for you who know they got problems too. Ain't none of us here faultless. And we got all kind of trouble. You know, the elders worrying about you folks. You know? I mean, brothers and sisters, we got problems. And recognize it. And know that, hey, we got a group of people that are trying and struggling just like you are to live for Jesus that can pray for you. If you're here, you're here and you need the prayer. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. We plead and beg with you right now. Don't continue to live on death row. Yeah. You die. And your faith is sealed. If you need to respond to God, please stand now while we sing the invitation song.
Jesus is calling for you.